I've been very fortunate to build and struggle to build companies. Been very fortunate to discover how poorly I led and also had the opportunity to be. And when you wrap it all up and you think about all the things, all the experience and all the lessons and all the different types of things, the things that have led me here today that have me sharing. I remember that thought like it was like yesterday. I remember being so angry that I began screaming at the top of my lungs at the ceiling at a God that I said I didn't believe in. In that moment, all I heard was the quietest of whispers, and it just said, "Are you willing to surrender? Are you ready to surrender?" And I don't know about you, but first of all, I wasn't expecting a response. And second of all, I didn't really have a choice anymore. So now I was left just only with only opportunities. And this opportunity to surrender became the most powerful moment of my life.
Guys, I got a guy in the show today that went from homeless to nine figures. That went from sleeping in a car to exiting eight-figure company. But more than that, that's cool. You've made a lot of money. You're successful. What I admire most about you is your heart, man.
I appreciate that, dude.
Dude, just even in the time he's been here, guys, he flew all the way here from Salt Lake City to come to San Diego just to be on the podcast and then has to get right out of That's here right. afterwards. Right. We got a time crunch today to get him out of here so he can get back to the airport. But even in the lobby, even my other guests and my friends that got to talk to you, like, they're just like, dude, this guy, man, the conversation, what we talked about. And I think that's so cool. I think that's a testament to who you are, the man you are, the way that you carry yourself. You don't have to be that way. You could show up here and go into show mode and turn it on and say all the right things, but you're the same man. I already know, and even interviewed you outside of the mics, the cameras that you are in the room. Welcome to the show, Stephen Scoggins.
Cody, what's up, man? Thank you, dude. I don't even know what to say, man. You know, it's funny. Anytime you get a chance, you and I had a chance to catch up in the elevator, just even popping up. And anytime you get a chance to share from experience and sacrifice rather than from this fake success, beautiful things happen. You know, the one thing I wish entrepreneurs in general would get their head around is not to celebrate success, instead celebrate the sacrifice.
Mm.
Because there's far too much of development that happens in those moments. You know, I was talking, a good friend of mine, R.C. Blakes, he's a pastor and he does a lot of relationship content, helps people build healthy marriages and healthy relationships, and helps a lot of men become men, helps a lot of women get healed to a place where they can accept a good man as well as become the kind of helpmate that they want to be. So anyway, he and I, excuse me, we're having a podcast. It's probably close to a year ago. He's actually our signature card on my YouTube channel.
Wow.
And in this conversation, we were talking and we just got in the flow like you and I did earlier today and also with the guest. And it was really cool because as we were chit-chatting, I had this interesting epiphany. We got to talking about kingship, right? Or we call it kingship, call it queenship. It's the same concept.
Right.
And I had this interesting epiphany. And the epiphany was King David, okay? The most notable king in the Bible,
yep.
Right? Even when they talk about where Jesus came from, they always talk about how he came from David's line.
Yep.
Okay. Man after God's own heart. Dude made all kinds of mistakes, had all kinds of success. The crazy part is most people don't realize he was not made a king in a palace. He was made king in a cave.
Yeah.
Most people underestimate or devalue what you learn in wisdom and experience, discernment, from the experiences that really challenge you. And I believe that the greatest fruit you'll ever have in your life is actually coming out of the adversities that you face along the way, especially if you come at it from a perspective of I want to learn, not I want to resist.
Wow.
And too many of us go at adversity in general, like whatever your audience may be facing something right stinking now.
Right.
Like maybe their relationship that they've been counting on is ending. Maybe their business is struggling. Maybe they're just at a place in life where I don't know what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go and all that kind of, maybe just in a, what I call a state of discovery, right? And they don't fully understand that that's the moment. Say, okay, well, what's going on right now and what can I learn from it? Our natural human tendency of human behavior is to try to resist it, try to pull away from it.
Right.
And I think one of the things that's helped me become successful, you, a lot of the other guests that you've had on as well, so the folks we get to hang out with today in the green room.
And, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it always is. And as everybody was, we spent more time talking about the importance of being real, having a clean and right spirit, clean and right heart, and leaning into adversity to learn from it. Because this is the only way that you're going to get to a place like my first mentor, Steve Myrick, which I talked a little bit out in the green room with everybody, told me a long time ago. He said, the only legacy worth living is the one that outlives you. Okay. Let that sink in for a second. How do you shape a legacy? You shape a legacy over time. No one's born with a legacy. They're born with a destiny. The destiny doesn't become the legacy until after you've lived a life. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I have the pleasure of speaking on stages all over the place now. I've been very fortunate to build and struggle to build companies. Been very fortunate to discover how poorly I led and also had the opportunity to become a much better leader along the way. And when you wrap it all up and you think about all the things, all the experience and all the lessons and all the different types of things, the things that have led me here today that have me sharing, I'm sharing from a place of experience.
Yeah.
Stuff that I've done wrong, right, indifferent, confusing, missing, like all the stupid stuff that I've done. And some of those stupid things, just for sake, cost me relationships. Some of those stupid things cost me big dollars. Some of those stupid things cost me momentary lapses of incongruent identity.
Wow.
Not knowing who I was.
Momentary lapses of incongruent identity. Mm-hmm. Can you expound on that?
Yeah. So think about identity as the created value that God put in you. So I'll give you an example. So there's enough science now that says when the human soul leaves the body at the time of death, the body actually weighs 2 grams lighter than it did before.
Really? I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Which goes to show that there is a human soul inside of your body that is outside of your mental acuity and mental consciousness, which also goes to show that there's a creator that put breath and life in your nostrils. Okay. Remember how I said you're born with a destiny, but you create a legacy over time.
Yeah.
God puts you on this earth to learn a lot of things, experience a lot of things, to then create the empathy and congruency to help you share a lot of things with other people.
Wow.
Okay. So an incongruent identity is anytime you're living someone else's life. I grew up, we talked a little bit about this, but I grew up in a pretty difficult situation growing up. My parents were largely gone. You know, when I say gone, they were, you know, my mom was struggling with her thing. My dad was struggling with his thing and, you know, largely raised by my grandmother. She passed away at 11 after I had spent some time helping take care of her from 9 to 11 because she was diagnosed with cancer. And this is back in the mid 80s when literally the chemotherapy was more dangerous than the cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. When my father comes back into the picture, I immediately go to live with him. My little brother goes to live with my mom in Florida. And of course I'm still in North Carolina at the time, which is where I was basically born and raised. And as time went on, I watched my dad build a framing construction company and lose his construction company. And on the evening that we got foreclosed on, he had a couple of repossessions that week, ended up having to declare bankruptcy and lost his business all in the same year.
Wow.
Okay. In that moment, I remember this for the rest of my life. Steve Myrick, one of my first mentors, put us in a mobile home that he owned to get us by. My dad was still working for him at the time. And while we were moving into that mobile home, my dad looked over and he said, remember this, always remember this, Scoggins never get ahead. They only get by. That's an example of somebody speaking incongruency over you. I knew at that moment it was wrong, but I still accepted it as if it was truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
You let it imprint in you as a belief system.
Exactly. And most of us do that. And when I tell that story, so many times I've had people come up and it made me think of this thing with my dad or this thing with my mom or this thing with my brother, my sister, my ex-spouse, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's because we all get lulled to sleep in trying to be something for someone else on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Right. So I became an entrepreneur by necessity. Right.
So like necessity, like you needed to make money.
I needed food. I needed shelter. I needed to get going. Right.
Why not go get a job?
Well, because for some reason I would always outwork my leaders in general. They would hate on me and suppress me.
So they put ceilings over you.
Put ceilings.
So the necessity was, I am tired of these ceilings, so I'll go build something.
Well, actually the necessity was for me was, and this maybe is a little bit, this will go hand in hand with having that authentic, transparent.
Okay.
Component to your life. The thing that I actually think you draw power from.
Okay. Let's go there.
All right. I think the most powerful tool you will ever have in your ability is your vulnerability through transparency to tell the truth and the experience. Okay. So I'll give you an example. In the around 18 years old, After dropping out of high school to help my dad pay the bills and all kinds of stuff like that, which was my choice. Not, I used to say I was forced to drop out of high school. The reality was it was my choice.
Right.
I had just turned 18. I was in a position I could do it. I was tired of the lights getting turned off. I was tired of the cockroaches. I was tired of the waking up to cold water. Like, you know, it's just, I was tired.
Yeah.
And this is before Ice Bucket Challenge and
before and, cold and, water was cool.
Yeah, before cold water was cool, right? Which makes me, which is funny because my girlfriend just kicked my butt in the cold tub.
Wait, she stayed longer than you?
3 minutes, dude. I did two. She did three.
Oh, bro, I've gone 10.
Bro, I haven't gone that far. Now, we did, because we were having a hard time, that's a side note, we were having a hard time finding some place in Utah to do it. From a schedule, we could do it. So we literally have a big master garden tub, and I filled it full of three bags of ice.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it was cold.
So I have one I put ice in at home as well. I'll do one. But I will say, this can be real here. It's nowhere near as cold as the one that's got the running holding water.
Oh, like, now you just scared me. I got one on order now. Great. Jeez. No, but so we're going through this. I'm going through this season. My dad's employer, Steve Myrick, this is really important. I say this almost every podcast or every media appearance I'm on, and it's only because I think it's so powerful. You know, I gave you the lifeline that my dad spoke, right? Well, one afternoon, Steve Myrick pulls me off the framing crew. This is after I dropped out of high school. He puts me to work in his construction company, working technically under my dad. My dad was like the framing leader. And he pulls me down the framing crew and puts me in this Jeep Grand Cherokee. And he says, I got a couple of questions for you. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, anything for you, Steve, you know, kind of deal. Because he was forever when I was a kid, like teenager, like constantly pouring life into me.
Wow.
I get people joke around all the time that I'm a walking fortune cookie. That's where I got it from. He was the exact same way.
Yeah, you were texting me like fortune cookie stuff.
That's right. This afternoon he asked me, he pulls me in the car. He says, okay, here are the couple of questions. Question number one, what is the difference between a rich man and a poor man? I'm a teenager at the time, no income, little to no income, struggling to get by financially with my family. And this is before I dropped out. And, so I responded, well, of course, that's an easy answer. That's money, dude. Rich man got money, poor man don't. Right.
Right.
He looked at me like he was about to slap me. And he said, absolutely not. It's the way they think. Now, I want you to set the stage. Steve Myrick was one of the most wealthiest men I knew. No one knows to this day how wealthy he was, but he was wealthy enough to do whatever the hell he wanted to do when he wanted to do it.
Right.
Okay. He was also one of the most generous men I've ever met in my life. I watched him at, you know, in North Carolina, barbecue is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like North Carolina, Tennessee. Oh, some of
the I miss it, man. I lived in South Carolina 6 years. It ain't the same out here. No, let me tell
it's
you.
It's different. Yeah. But, you know, so I watched him one time leave a $1,000 tip in cash under a basket of Hush Puppy long before Dan Fleischman was doing $1,000 dinners. Okay. I watched a single waitress walk over, pick up the basket of Hush Puppies. He already knew she had a couple of kids and she was a single mom, and completely get wrecked.
Wow.
On her knees, praising God, crying like crazy. And he never saw it because he would always sneak out. Okay. So that's in my head. Meanwhile, my father at the time, my father's gone through his own transformation. I'm super proud of him. Like, he's, you know, alcoholism was a big deal for his life for a long time. Bad financial decisions, all kinds of stuff. He's a fantastic grandfather and he's come a long, long way.
Come on.
Super proud of him. I actually had the pleasure of walking him down the aisle when he accepted Jesus.
Wow.
My brother and I both did, which was pretty powerful. It's like 10 years ago, but I had these Rolodex moments. So, you know, Steve's going this direction. I'm thinking of generosity and wealth and integrity. And dude, he shook your hand. It was a contract, right? My, people that know me, that if I give you my word, even if it costs me money, I still honor it.
Yeah.
And I picked that up from him as well.
People need that.
That's right. I've missed that. It's one of the reasons I moved to Utah, because that kind of is in that environment, which is great. But my father, on the other hand, was always borrowing money, never repaying it. I would say borrowing with no intent to repay. He actually used to have what I would refer to as a money dance. So he kind of like jiggled around a little bit right before he was going to ask for money. You know, so I started down that same track record, trying to borrow money to Steve to get my first car and other things. I think that's what necessitated this conversation. So anyway, I want to give you contrast. Okay. The contrast is important. Because if you don't have contrast, you can't see the choice.
Okay.
So Steve Myrick is the wealthy, generous guy. My father is, I wouldn't call it poverty, but was definitely an area of lack.
Okay.
Okay. Integrity-wise, cash-wise, generosity-wise. Okay. On the other side, abundance, generosity, integrity, cash, all of it, right? So Steve asked me a follow-up question. He said, do you want to learn to think like me, or do you want to continue thinking like your father?
Wow.
Let that sink in. You see, up until that time, I, like most people, live a life of autopilot, right? I was born with the parents I had. I went to the high school I went to, went to the middle school I went to. I had my first car was, whether it was bought, financed, broken. Like my first car was spent more time in the garage than anywhere else, right? So your highs, your lows, your adversity, all of that stuff is kind of like part of the story. But seldom those are things that you get to choose, okay? The reason this is so important is because with the power of choice comes the power of opportunity.
Yeah, that's so good.
In that moment, I was given an opportunity to create a next level life, even though I didn't take full advantage of it at that time. So while I received the words, it took a while before I received the expectations of what the words would do, okay? But it set the tone to have that authentic experience and begin to change my heart for the better, okay? Now I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So I go to work for a company called Waste Industries, left the construction, went to go work for there, still very much an 18, 19-year-old kid, right. very young. Quickly accelerate through the organization. By the time I'm about 19, I'm the assistant manager to a roll-off division, which means I had people twice my age reporting to me looking for guidance and supervision, okay? That was the first time that I actually realized that I had a chance to have some leadership skills that would be developed.
Yeah.
It's also the first time that my brain actually showcased the fact that I had my brain thinks strategically.
Right.
Which is, if everybody wants to know, if you want to learn to think, go from tactical to strategical, you got to ask one question. If this, then that. If this happens, then that happens. That's the number. That's the secret common denominator for thinking strategically. If this happens, then that happens. And you keep building the tree from there. Anyway, so I go work at this company. I do really well overall. Not like super well financial. I was making, probably 18 bucks an hour.
Right. But back then at that age,
it was decent money. Good money. Yeah. And then they buy a company that close by, because a lot of times the larger companies acquire companies. That's part of the game. In that acquisition, I guess they allowed the former owner to become the operations manager of the organization that I was currently working for. So I got a new boss, so to speak. And I've always liked Dave Ramsey's definition of a boss. He says a boss is nothing more than a doofus with a title. Right? So we're going through this whole thing. And this guy, to this day, of all the places I've worked, and even the stuff that I've done, is by far the worst leader I've ever seen in my life.
Man.
I end up abruptly leaving that business after covering for my manager who was sleeping in his van. And I got called out on his responsibility. Anyway, it's a whole mess. But when all that was going on, I went through that discovery phase. Like I dropped out of high school to take care of my family, or at least in my mind to take care of the family. I then went to construction, started doing pretty well. I then left construction, thought I was going to do better. At least, right, I wouldn't be out in the sun and the stuff and the snow and the ice and all that stuff for the course of the year. And then I do really well there. And then that opportunity falls apart. Like I find myself like, what is it I really want to do? And it's okay to be there. It's okay to be in the season of, I don't know what I'm really supposed to do. One of the lessons here is to make sure that you are doing something, taking an action step every single day.
Yeah.
There's 365 days in a year. If you take one step a day, you're by definition be 365 steps further than you would have been if you'd stay still. I go to work for Steve again.
So you have the guy who says, do you want to think like me or do you want to think like your dad?
Yep.
You end up leaving his company. You go to this other company. Yep. That doesn't work out. Now you're back.
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back, baby. Let's go. Right? And it just so happens in this particular season, he needed someone to run a specific division of his construction company. Now, keep in mind, by all intents and accounts, I'm still very wet behind the ears. Okay. I'm 18, 19, might have been getting closer to 20 years old at this time. So he sets me up. He buys me all the equipment, all the truck. He buys me everything I need to do to start a business. Okay. Proceeds to work out an agreement to run the back office, which obviously they had no idea how to do, accounting and invoicing and whatever, right? Kind of deal with transparency. It wasn't like he was trying to get over on me.
Right.
I go and kick butt. I kick butt for a year. Like I bust my butt. I've always been a hard worker. I've never had a hard time like really putting the nose to the grindstone. Right. I was grinding before grinding was cool. I wasn't grinding on my couch eating potato chips,
Yeah. You weren't playing Call of Duty?
No, I wasn't playing Call of Duty. They didn't have the Nintendo. Well, they had that Nintendo.
They had to have the Nintendo.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you, but yeah. No, but I go and start killing. So I started making really good money.
Right.
And we're talking the late 90s. And in the late 90s specifically, I was making high six figures.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, right? I also spent every dime of it.
Right.
I had no concept of compounding. I had no concept of investing. I had no concept of even saving. All I wanted to do was to prove to people that I had value based on the crap that I was acquiring. So I was giving everyone around me a false perception of value that they weren't even paying attention to because it made me feel like I had a higher level of value.
Right.
Okay.
Trying to prove yourself.
Yeah, trying to prove yourself. Okay. Well, what happens when you get arrogant and ignorant and stupid?
You make mistakes.
You make lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
One of which I got was a very toxic relationship that then led me to a very dark path. Now, it's important to know from 9 years old all the way up until about this point here, when my grandmother passed away at 11, my faith in God was basically gone. Well, challenged at 11, gone by the time I'm 19.
Right.
Okay.
You're living of the world.
Well, I'm living of the world, but I'm living of the world from a perspective of wanting to do right, but having outside influences control or limit my capacity.
Okay.
Okay. So I wasn't necessarily going out misbehaving, doing drugs. That's just not my story. It's some people's story and bless them. But, cause I admire anyone who comes back fighting, right? I do.
Come on.
And, in my story specifically, that led me into a toxic relationship, which led me to depression, which led me to walk an office job site for the second time. And then led me later into essentially what became a homeless season for about 3.5, 4 months.
So you left all that?
Left all of that. I cold turkey. Like I was so brokenhearted. I was so lost. I was so sorrowful.
How old were you?
19, approaching 20 at that time.
Okay.
Okay. I was so broken on the inside. I say broken. I was so confused on the inside that I didn't know what was up, what was down. My identity was tied to either the girl or the stuff.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And now the stuff and the girl are gone.
Yeah. So you're at an all-time low of depression.
All-time low.
Don't feel valuable.
I did. I literally walked off the job, walked back to the mobile home that I technically owned, that I later my brother had to move into, and that would come a little bit later in the story. Walked into that scenario, and literally within, I don't know, three, four months of there, I was kind of ousted out of my own place. Then it was like couch surfing. Then it was car surfing. Then it was a couple of nights under the stars. And my only saving grace was having this moment at World's Gym. I still had a membership at World's Gym, which I don't even know if the World's Gym exists anymore, but
I ain't even ever heard of it.
Yeah. So it's like a Gold's, right? So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It has a shower, right? So I would shower there to fake the fact that I wasn't struggling because of guilt and shame and, you know, all the emotions we all go through at different times in our life.
Right. Right.
Anyway, fast forward. I had this moment. I look at my eyes in the mirror and I'm like, dude, what the hell are you doing? And everything that Steve Myrick told me came rushing back. Like all these different one-liners, all these different things about staying away from alcohol and making sure you choose your inner circle wisely. Like all the stuff before thought leadership was thought leadership, right?
Right.
Like before then I had a thought leader already teaching me, right?
Yeah.
Which is such a blessing.
Come on.
And I remember in that moment, I kind of like my iron heart began to crack. So I was now David in a cave, right? If you remember when David's in the cave, he can't figure out why Saul wants to kill him.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand because he's like, I've done no wrong by this guy.
Yeah.
But he keeps trying to take me out, right? He's also given the decision to try or he had the opportunity to take Saul out.
And he didn't.
He didn't.
He just took a piece of his, you know, garment or whatever.
Yeah, as a little bit of a proof to say, hey, bro.
Just so you know.
Maybe you should leave me alone kind of thing. You know, but that began to crack in my heart. And then my brother calls and gives me a chance to earn $50. Now, keep in mind, I haven't been working for a while. $50, like late 90s, probably $150 now.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things. A week's worth of food, basically. And he's living in my mobile home. I agree to go clean his litter box. And the reason I'm telling this story is because your friend, KC, before I hopped on the show, asked me to share this story.
Yeah.
So this is all him, baby.
Come on, KC.
All right.
Prompted this. Because he asked how you found Jesus.
Yeah. So I go in this mobile home. I can smell the ammonia from the front door. I walk in the left, turn left, old shaggy gray carpet on the floor, past the white linoleum, past the blue wallpaper, past the old, for those of you owners who actually been in a mobile home, like these little thin paper cabinets.
Yeah.
Right. Past the laundry room, little box kind of to the right, through the single door, into the master, through the double door to the master bath. and the litter box is sitting over to the left-hand side. I always wondered up until that moment why my brother was willing to pay me so much money to clean that litter box. And then I opened the door. And what I saw was, rather than empty the litter box ever, it's like they just kept pouring sand on top of it. Mm. So it was nasty. And I remember having this plastic bag in my hand. It's like a Walmart kind of like shopping bag or whatever. And I literally turned around, walked out, went to the kitchen, got a big trash bag. And then I started, I'm disgusted with myself. I'm angry with myself. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at God. I am judging God's grace, authority, anointing, all God. I'm judging him based on mankind's action.
Wow.
Okay. A lot of us, and I do mean a lot of us, judge God by choices we make or by choices that others make around us that impact us. Mm. Not realizing that free choice is free choice. But free choice also leads to free prosperity once you get an alignment and congruency with the created value you have. And now you can exercise that in the created value of the purpose he put you on the earth for. Okay.
So good.
So as I'm going through this whole thing, I'm getting irritated, right? So I'm digging, like, I'm just like, get this over with. Right. And about that time that the first shovel or the scooper hits a big clump, snaps a handle off. I'm like, rah! I'm just getting mad. I remember having this one thought: is this what my life has come down to, cleaning cat crap? I remember that thought like it was like yesterday.
Wow.
And it's interesting because when I remember that, it also reminds me to be humble, because at any point in time, I can make a boneheaded decision to put myself in a bad position again.
Yeah.
But so I put my thumb in the back of the scooper and I go back at it. Okay. And as I'm going back at it, I'm going back, I'm just getting more and more disgusted. So, cause now stuff's actually touching my hands.
Yeah. And, picturing it. I'm like, ugh.
My level of being livid or angry went to a whole new level. Right. And when I was doing it, I remember being so angry that I began screaming at the top of my lungs at the ceiling at a God that I said I didn't believe in.
Wow.
And then I uttered these words: if you're so blankety blank real, why don't you prove it? And something took my legs out from under me and I was pinned to the floor on my knees. Couldn't move. I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't move my neck. I could not move. In that moment, all I heard was the quietest of whispers. And it just said, are you willing to surrender? Are you ready to surrender? And I don't know about you, but first of all, I wasn't expecting a response. And second of all, I didn't really have a choice anymore. I had exhausted all my choices.
Yeah.
So now I was left just with only opportunities. And this opportunity to surrender became the most powerful moment in my life. You can't see it now because I'm getting all like gray and stuff, but I have a white mark on my chin that's like pure white that happened in that moment. So I had that from 20s all the way to like here, which is kind of nuts. So people always say, well, dude, that's like supernatural kind of thing, man. I don't know about that. What they don't know is during that moment when I said yes, it was like somebody pulled a hot vat of oil from the top of my head all the way down to my toes, and it soaked me. Soaked, I say oil, honey, but it had that consistency, and it was just, it was warm. It was, I just know when I got up off the floor after that experience, I felt free.
Wow.
I felt like I didn't have the sunglasses that I've been wearing, because like I could see everything in life, but everything had like a dark shade to it.
Yeah.
Right. It was like the, whatever dark lens was, it was gone.
It was lifted.
It was gone.
Come on.
All right. So people always say, well, how do we know that story is true? I'm like, because of the experience and because of the evidence. Well, how do you back your way into evidence of something like that? It's easy. You see what happens next.
Come on.
Same way you do like a movie. All right. So 2 days later, I'm invited back onto the framing crew for Steve Myrick. Third chance. He gave me a rock solid chance the first time. He gave me a second chance I didn't deserve the next time. And now he's giving me a third chance that I dang sure don't deserve.
Right.
Okay. I keep in mind, when he put me in business for myself, he bought me all the tools, all this equipment, all this kind of stuff. He spent all kinds of money, poured all kinds of time, energy into me, and I goofed it up. Okay. As this is kind of progressing, one of the cool things was, I would go and hide from him all the week long. So I'm on the framing crew. He's driving around the community. I would go and hide. I'd come back to the front, right? And kind of continue working. Well, I did that the entire week. It's now Friday. Okay. And the construction, you knock off at 2:00. All right. This is back in the day, right? So 2:00, everybody starts an early weekend. which is why at the time construction workers were notorious for not having money by Monday because they would go use it all over the weekend.
Right.
And I would give this opportunity to kind of like go reframe a garage door. My dad said, hey, can you go over next door and reframe this door? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Meanwhile, I go over there and I'm watching the guys that took over for me and they're bad mouthing Steve. They're complaining about how he's mistreating them and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, and to understand the construction industry, there's a draw schedule. Okay. If you're 50% done, you can have 50% of your money. Well, they were probably 30% done and had already been drawn out 60% of their money. So they were way upside down. Clearly, they clearly had an addiction of some kind and were making choices from that place.
Very common in that industry, unfortunately.
Yep, it is. So I get fired up. I'm walking back across. And I remember this little, that same little voice that hit me at the litter box said, well, isn't that what you did? First time I've ever been held accountable. I had another choice to make. What do I do with this? What do I do with this accountability? Do I beat myself up with it for the mistakes that I made? Or do I make a new decision to move forward? I chose to move forward in this particular case. In fact, I was so fired up that when my dad was coming to get the checks from Steve, I was literally going this way and my dad was coming that way. And you should see my dad. My dad's head was like turning, like, where are you going, man? Right? Knock on Steve's window. Window comes down. And he said, well, how you doing, man? What can I do for you? Actually said, what can I do you for? Because that's country. And I said,
Carolina.
It was. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, I overheard these guys and they're saying they're not going to come back. Da, 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 da. Can I take back over for him? He goes, boy, you crazy, man. You done burned me once, you know, because he went straight Southern on me.
Yeah.
And then he says, besides, I sold him the tools and the equipment and I don't own that stuff anymore or whatever. I said, look, you have every right not to trust me. You have every right not to take a chance on me. I'm just telling you right now, if you do this, I will figure everything else out. I just need an opportunity. Just one opportunity. And he was kind of stunned. He was kind of rolling back in his chair. He's like, I tell you what, if those guys are in here by 9 a.m. Monday morning, I'll let you finish that house. We'll go from there. How about that? I said, done. He smiled at me, his big pearly white dentures. I shook his hand. Window rolled up. I'm walking back towards the job site. My dad is livid. Boy, I just, because now keep in mind, this is now the third time that I've been brought back onto the framing crew. And here I'm about to put a detonator into what my dad had already just done for the last 2 weeks, right? And he's livid. And I remember him saying, you know, you kind of hollering and whatnot. And I finally found my voice. And I said, well, this is something I have to do. Because I knew it wasn't of me. I knew it was of the Lord.
Wow.
I somehow knew instinctively that this was my bedrock of a new beginning. This is my moment after Bathsheba. Right. This is the moment after.
Yeah.
This is the moment after bad decisions. This is the second, third, fourth, fifth chance that you don't deserve that you still get because you'll step into it out of faith. Right. My dad, for the first time in that moment, showed up. He walks over to the beat up van, starts pulling tools out. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, do you remember when you were a kid when we were working on the job sites? What do we make the ladders out of? I'm like, well, wood. All right. How about the walk boards, pump jacks, braces, sawbucks? All this kind of, like, the answer was just easily wood. He said, all right, boy, go ahead and start pulling trash out of the trash piles. We got scaffolding to build.
Wow.
And we spent the entire weekend building scaffolding that I would need Monday should the guys not actually show up.
Right. Not even sure if
not even sure.
Yeah.
100% act on faith. Okay. In that same thing, the interesting thing happened was in that specific moment, we built the stuff. The guys, just to explain the story, but they didn't show up 9 a.m. I went back to work, did my first house. That was the first house of the company I just exited.
Come on.
Okay. And I told you offline kind of what the exit kind of looked like. I can't talk about it publicly, but I can tell you I put a hell of a management team in place to continue to grow that business. But at the same time, I want people to understand that I just shared a bunch of my failures.
Right.
And there's a whole lot more.
Right.
We just don't have time to go into today, right?
We'd be here all day.
Yeah. But I want to give people the ability to be vulnerable and transparent and congruent, because people will learn far more from your struggles than they will from your successes. And the only way you build a legacy that outlives you is by actually being vulnerable and teaching from those places of the lessons that you learned. And the crazy part is, I believe that one of the things that you're uniquely gifted at is serving that person, right? So who was Stephen 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago? Like, everything I've done now, work comes from the heart. It comes from that place of wanting to serve at that level.
And you're qualified to.
Yes.
You've been through the experiences. Mm-hmm. You have the wisdom.
Yep.
You understand where they're at. You can relate to it. And you're also the dream outcome. That if you were where I am and you've gotten to where you are, there's hope that I can get there too.
Yeah.
And then you're also the guide.
Yeah. I refer to that as your aspirational mentor.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's powerful. So you exited that recently. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It can be hard sometimes exiting a company.
You know what? You know what's really crazy? I was supposed to, I was going to take the whole month of January off and, you know, my life, I'm like everybody else. I have coaches and stuff like that. Life coach. Yeah. He's like, man, 25 years of your life, you know, hell of a job. You built a great business. You know, most people, you know, the average business never gets sold or exited in general. Right.
Yeah. It's very rare.
And I still own some equity in it. But, anyway, it's very rare that happens. So he's like, you know, you do enjoy it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I remember I just moved to Utah. And the girl I've been seeing happened to be there. And I was like, my life coach just said this. She goes, babe, for you, I honestly don't think that's a good idea. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, no, you're built to build. So anyway, so 2 weeks into it, yeah, it was like, I was going stir crazy. So we got back to building. You know, I love building businesses. You know what I love building more than businesses?
What?
Is people that build businesses.
Come on.
That's what I love.
You love building builders.
I do. And it's crazy. You know, I was talking to Casey out in the hallway before and green room area. And I was like, he's like, dude, I was like, he's like, man, I discovered I got two things I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to serve at scale one. And I'm supposed to be Steve Meyer to as many people as humanly possible too. Let that sink in. How many of your listeners, your audience wish that they could have a do-over, not realizing their do-over is only tied to choosing to do it over.
Y'all catching this? So good.
You see what I'm saying? Your second chance is based on choice. It's not based on your perceived value of failure. It's based on your expectation of potential and opportunity.
Yeah. And you also walked up to Steve mm-hmm. that third time and asked mm-hmm. for that opportunity.
Yeah.
He gave it to you, but only because you asked.
He was just as surprised as my dad was. Let's put it that way.
So now exiting this company, mm-hmm. I'm going to go say you're building builders. Let's call it that way. Cause yeah. I like that. That just kind of stuck
Let's
a little
go.
Bit.
Yeah.
How are you building builders?
You know, I do it a couple different ways. You know, I created Scoggins International, over the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm really going to really focus on that particular business. Cause of the exit, I rolled up 4 of them and sold them or exited those. And Scoggins International is going to focus on 3 categories: media. So we create signature media for thought leaders, aspiring thought leaders, events. So, you know, we did Ed Milet's book launch at our place in Raleigh. I'm moving that to Utah.
Come on. Which book?
Power of One More.
Dude, that book was so good.
Bro. Yeah, it is a great book. You should have been at the event, dude.
I wish I was.
I made a lot of new friends that day. It was a lot of incredible new friends doing a lot of good work in the world. But we discovered we like doing events for other people as much as we like doing our own events, which is kind of nuts. Cause I have 1 of 3 live events, buildings in the country that can host hundreds of thousands of people and seat a few hundred people, et cetera. So it's a true hybrid studio. Anyway, I'm moving that to Utah, but that's the events arm. And then we have Empowering Education. Empowering Education is unstoppable startup. So I chose to focus on tactical and strategical methods to actually build, not philosophical stuff.
Okay.
And the reason I did that is because there's lots of qualified people to teach you philosophy and theology of building a business. There's not a lot of folks who will teach you actually how to build a business.
Right.
How to structure a team, how to build a sales pipeline, how to build a fulfillment chain that won't fail you, how to watch your finances to make sure you don't have holes in your bucket, right? How to build a raving fan retention model where people actually want to continue doing business with you. You know, these fundamentals will make or break a 6-figure business, a 7-figure business, and you absolutely will not get to an 8 or 9-figure business unless you get that stuff figured out. So one of my goals is to make sure that we take the time to teach life mastery and business mastery content to entrepreneurs and business owners specifically, because you're a whole person. So your life issues are going to bleed into your business and your business issues will bleed into your life.
Right.
Okay. Holistic. I want to take the business failure metric and turn it on its head. Okay. So they say 8 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 years. Wonderful. That's fantastic. You know why? Because I'm going to make 8 out of businesses succeed and only 2 are going to pass away.
Wow.
And those 2 that pass away are going to be because of the owners who didn't have character and integrity to carry the load.
Come on.
Right?
So that's the mission.
That's the mission. Unstoppable Startup will get us there. So I'm going to work with 5, 6, and 7-figure entrepreneurs. I'm going to help them build their 8-figure empires. and I'm going to do it with character and integrity. Because I believe that Billy Graham actually said this. He said the greatest move of God is going to come through the marketplace.
It's happening right now. It is happening. I'm seeing it happen everywhere. And it's in the spheres of influence that we're called to. Media, arts and entertainment, you know, government, education, right? So there's the peaks that are talked about, the seven peaks. I believe that the move of God is happening in these marketplaces because the most influence is in that place.
Yeah. But keep in mind, how many people of influence have you seen fall due to a moral injury, a moral failure?
Oh, man.
Okay, so think about this. Now more than ever, it's more vital for an influencer to always operate through the lens of integrity. Otherwise, their influence is actually worthless.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is build a 10 or 25 or 30 year career of influence and wreck it with a moment lapse of character.
Yeah. I'd say that's one of the biggest liabilities that you have. And it's interesting because there's a guy named Dr. Jeffrey Spencer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He trains like Tiger Woods and Olympians and stuff, but he now moved into a very unique world with high performance coaching. And my corner man, my coach, has worked directly with him. And he has this philosophy, and he'll tie to decades of our life. And your 20s are altruism. And your 30s are conquest. And your 40s are contribution. And your 50s are stability. And it's really interesting as he breaks down.
I've followed the first three.
And so the biology of us as human beings actually shows this. There's a lot of data to back it. So I'm with my coach the other day, and I just bring this up because it's relevant. And I'm about to head into my 30s. So I'm in April 21st, I'm 30. Today's like February 9th. We're I'm almost 30. So I'm coming out of altruism. Altruism, I think I can solve all the world's problems, right?
You're making a good attempt at it.
I'm trying, you know, but even in that, I've gained, I'm a little ahead of my time probably because I surround myself with these great mentors and coaches and have these conversations and began to, in the risk in altruism in your 20s is the sabotage, the recklessness. 30s. Are conquesting the risk. And I, cause I asked my coach this, I said, what is the greatest liability I have to mitigate in my 30s? And he talked to me and he said, relationships and your reputation. And he said, you will conquest and build in your 30s. You'll build your empire, but do not do it at the cost of relationships and reputation. And it just hit home. And then you're today talking about this and you're saying that. And I just had such a confirmation of the value of my reputation in the relationships I have in my life. And nothing I do in business or decisions I make can ever hurt that. Like, don't ever make a decision to make money that's going to hurt your reputation or hurt the people around you.
I'm actually glad you mentioned that. My good friend, Rory Vaden. He does a lot of amazing things, but
brand builders.
Brand builders group. I've known him and AJ for a while. He's actually how I met Ed and got in. And
Do you know, have you heard of Story Builders? Side note.
And I haven't heard of Story Builders.
Blankenship. Okay. Offline, I want to talk to you about something.
Oh, that's cool. So Rory has this philosophy where relationships and revenue envision them like they're an actual engine. Okay. He actually calls them your revenue engine or your reputation engine.
Wow.
Your reputation engine, if it's not properly seasoned, oiled, maintained, looked after, will break down like any other car engine.
Right. Okay?
One of the things that I think is missing from the marketplace right now is simply following one simple biblical principle. Make your yes and your no, make your yes and your no. Entrepreneurs right now have too much distraction, too much temptation, and not enough diligence. Okay?
Accurate.
Those things will destroy your engine. It will absolutely destroy your engine. Your yes must be your yes. Your no must be your no. And you also need to understand, this is super duper important. So Jesus was taken into the desert. Okay. I believe he was taken into the desert by the counterfeit. Okay. The counterfeit was saying, I can give you everything of the world. You can have it all if you just do it my way. Okay. And Jesus says, no. I'm not of this world, right? I'm not testing God. Like I'm. So here's what I want you to understand. During your moments of success will also be your greatest moments of temptation and also the greatest time that a competitor, a counterfeit will come your way.
Wow.
Okay. I see people all the time, even in relationships. They'll start dating and whatever, and they'll meet somebody amazing. And then a counterfeit will come to try to mess it up a little bit, right? And they have to choose. Do I choose the counterfeit or do I choose the real thing? As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as someone who wants to grow yourself, grow your team, grow your business, even grow your family life, you have to understand that you have to be on point pretty much all the time. In fact, I'll only let my guard down if I'm with Chas. Because I'm in my safe place with a safe person.
Wow.
Right? So think about that. Most of us aren't doing that. Most of us are leaning into temptations and distractions.
Yeah. And there are huge liabilities in our in our life, man.
Yeah. Well, and they're not going to stop.
No, never.
So Joseph, when the lady tried to sleep with Joseph in the Bible, homeboy literally ran so fast away from the temptation that he literally left his cloak behind. Right?
Yeah.
His coat of many colors. So use that approach. And I think it'll serve the audience well. I think it'll serve entrepreneurs and business owners well. One final thing that's on my heart. I have to share it.
Yeah, man.
Please, and I'm not sure how much time we have left, but
yeah, we're just cause you got to get to the airport. We're coming to the end.
I want to encourage every entrepreneur, every business owner, every person watching, listening, whether or not they're getting ready to start a business or whatever, but this is super important because this is another one of those things that I screwed up. Okay. I'll say it this way first. My oldest son came to me a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he said, there's one thing you can work on as a dad is being more present when you're present, which then it got me thinking. As business owners, we spend all this time going out and creating customers. We'll send a handwritten note. We'll shoot the email. We'll pick up the phone.
Right.
We'll set up the dinner meeting. We'll do all the things to woo that customer into doing business with us. And then if we're really good at what we do, we'll continue wooing them to continue doing business with us.
Right.
But we'll ignore our family.
Mm.
So I made a conscious decision, and this is one thing I want to encourage everybody, because I've screwed this up. It's cost me big, and I don't want anybody else to go through this problem or have this problem.
Okay,
lay it
on us.
Okay. I want you to begin to treat your family as if they're your customers.
Wow.
Think about that. All the extra that you do for your customers. What if you left your son or your daughter a handwritten note and say, hey, I'm proud of you.
Mm.
What if you left a little sticky note? Chas did this like six times last week. Little sticky note. I choose you. I love you.
Wow.
I'm grateful for you.
My wife does that a lot for me. Super intentional. Challenge my intentionality in so many ways. Because I wasn't used to that.
Yeah. Well, the reason this is super important, it's important on multiple levels, but here's one that I think is really important. Your family will never care how much money you have. It'll never care about all the stuff you have. It'll care about the quality of the time you spend or invest.
Okay? So good.
A good friend of mine, Anthony Trucks, when I was going through a family thing one time, he said, dude, I learned a long time ago, it's not about how much time I spend, it's about the intentional time I'm with. So when I'm home, I'm home. Phone's off. I'm going to the football games with my kids. He's rocking it. He's focused, which challenged me to get more focused.
Yeah. I saw a speaker one time. I was in car sales. Mm-hmm. Guy came, he spoke to us. The one thing he said that stuck with me was be where your feet are.
Yeah.
And I've never let that leave my mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I always am perfect and disciplined and practicing that. Yeah. Very hard to be present in the home relationships when the chaos of business, when you feel like the business is on fire or whatever, the customers, but being present and being where your feet are and being all there and being present. I agree. That's all relationships want.
Yeah.
But how do you practically, what are some things that have helped you? Because entrepreneurship it's tough, man, especially if you had a bad day in business.
Yeah. Well, that brings me back to a point too. The side benefit of spending quality time with your family is when you have a bad day of business, you have people that will support you.
Come on.
If you freaking ignore them and you have a bad day in business, they're not going to give a rip that you had a bad day in business because you're just not present again with anger.
Yeah. You know, on that, in this biological thing I just hit on, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
48.
Okay. So you're past the zone of doom.
The zone of doom? Yes.
So the zone of doom, I think, is around 43.
Okay.
And basically a lot of people in modern day will call it midlife crisis and different things. But on a biological level, a lot of men have been studied. There's this zone of doom we go through in our early 40s. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to my coach about this, he said, start thinking now that one day that time will come in your life.
Mm.
And that's the most vulnerable a man is in self-sabotaging. It's the highest time period for suicide and addiction and self-sabotaging bonehead decisions.
Yep.
And he said, in that period, you will need relationships more than you've ever needed relationships. Yep. And if you burned them all in your 30s, no one will be there for you.
That's right.
And that's just like,
that's right.
I'm chewing on that right now. And we're talking about this. And then you said, and keep in mind, the family are the ones that are there for you.
Yeah.
When you have a bad day in business.
When the poop hits the fan. I mean, look, for your younger entrepreneurs that haven't hit the zone of doom yet. Okay.
I'm not there yet.
The best thing you could possibly be doing is intentionally consider at least weekly at a minimum, making investments into your family. Time, focus time. Put the stinking computer away. The world's not going to come to an end. Your business is not going to fall apart. That ticked off customer can be ticked off in another 10 minutes.
Right.
Honestly. Like, seriously, like, let's keep it in perspective, okay? Invest time in your family. I'm a big believer. I stole this from Rory and AJ Vade. This is how they run their relationships. They date weekly. They get away quarterly. They do a family vacation biannually. And then they do a complete couples getaway annually.
Wow. It's a good framework.
It's a fantastic framework. And you can mold that over your kids too. And the craziest thing is again, like Anthony Trucks told me, he's like, dude, they don't need a lot of time. I don't have to spend all day. My son just wants me to see him stare at his eyes, watch him play ball for an hour, committed. My wife just wants me to talk to her and be present with her for 90 minutes. And they'll let you run for 5 hours. Right? So it's the power of compounding. Invest wisely. Yeah. You're going to invest all your money and your resources and your assets. I'm going to grow and scale. Dude, you haven't done nothing if you haven't scaled your family.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you from a place of failure. Like I screwed that up for a little while.
You went through that. Yeah. I think that that's the biggest pitfall in entrepreneurship that I see.
Yeah.
Is look what I've built, but what did it cost you?
I'll tell you publicly and privately, I'm very fortunate to work with some very high net worth individuals, okay, at a coach level.
Right.
Okay. You'd be surprised at how many people are making 8, 9 figures and some even 10 that are very unhappy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's because they didn't follow this principle we're talking about right now. Instead, what happened is this is something that Steve Myrick told me a long time ago. He said, never let the things you own you. Okay. Seriously, right now, your generation is probably, on the generation coming up behind that, is probably most at risk because of the flamboyant stuff you see on social media of falling for a trap.
Yeah.
If people want to be with you because of your stuff and your money and whatever, they're the wrong stinking people.
Amen.
Okay. Instead, be with people that want to grow you, prosper you, learn from you, people you could invest in. Like, show me your 5 friends, I'll show you your future. I mean, a life truth is a life truth is a life truth.
It's a reason the quote's so popular.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, some people get annoyed, but I'm like, there's a reason it said so much.
Yeah. Because it's freaking true.
Yeah. Because it's true. You know? It's a principle to build your life on.
Yeah. So if I had to wrap up spending time with you and your audience today, I would say be truthful, be honest, be a person of integrity, keep your word, be a person of character. Don't get in a rush. Okay. I have never met a single entrepreneur yet, not one stinking time, that didn't think they should be further than they are today.
Yeah.
Not one. You're always going to feel like you should be further. So rather than just accept that you're growing, like you're developing, right? Invest time in those that love you most. And by all means, protect your heart, guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your soul. Because at the end of the day, you can mask, and we've seen this, amass great wealth, great people. We've seen it all. 100 times, and lose it all overnight.
So good, man. Scoggins.
Love you, brother.
Dude, love you, man. This was awesome, bro. Such an honor just having you on the show today. Thank you. You know, I feel so honored and privileged that God has continued to align me with great people like you.
Thank you.
And that you were willing to come out here. Thank you for your guests. Thank you for your time, your energy, your wisdom that you imparted into us today. I want people to go connect with you. I think that's really important is, you know, guys listening to this, as he spoke today, as he shared this wisdom, I mean, I'm learning so much from him. I mean, if it really spoke to you, I'm really going to encourage you to get plugged in with this guy. How can they do that?
I appreciate that, dude. You know, website, stevenscoggins.com with PH, 2 G's in Scoggins. I have all the social platforms, of course. I've got a team that helps me with all that, but I'm personally most active on Instagram.
Okay.
And Steven_Scoggins, you know, I've fortunately the people trying to fake being me is gone now. So I don't have to deal with that anymore, which is good.
They finally cleaned that up a little.
They did.
Finally.
It's been good.
Oh, man.
You know, but I actually, my team and I both have access to my DMs, just being real. But yeah, I'd love to hear from anybody that maybe heard today and watched today and got something from it. I'd love to cheer them on from the sidelines. Love to get, you know, I'm always about people that are really, really trying to build a good business, but also by building a good business with a good heart.
Is it just Stephen Scoggins on Instagram?
Stephen_Scoggins.
Yep. So guys, go find Stephen. If this spoke to you, I'm going to give y'all a pro tip right now too. Like, this is some ninja stuff, but you go send him a voice message or a video of what you took away from this podcast, even one thing, and you might just get lucky and he might reply and you might build a relationship and a friend. And I've done that for a long time. Often it's at events, mm-hmm. like when the speaker, whether it's Zoom yeah. or in person.
Yeah, you and I met at a charity event.
That's how we met.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete Vargas's yacht party for the charity with Tim Tebow.
Raised $4 million in
30
minutes.
That was crazy, bro.
That was awesome.
Oh my God, that was insane.
Yeah.
Probably gave more money than I've ever given, but it was just like the environment, you know? But I do that and I'll tag the speaker or whatever and I will send them, hey man, I just want to say thank you. This is what I took away from it. And this is how I'm going to go implement it. Mm-hmm. And I often will have built so much relationship with great, amazing humans doing that strategy.
That would get my attention.
Well, there you guys go. Let's see who acts on it though.
So here's the crazy part. If I give advice or coaching to somebody and they don't act on it, they don't get any more of it. If I see them do the homework, I'm like, dude, let's freaking go.
Yeah.
Here's your next one.
Greatest way you can honor a mentor is by using what the mentor gave you and taking action.
Mm-hmm. And if you disagree with it in the moment and ask about it, get perspective.
Right.
Because there's probably a reason why you're disagreeing that may be able to answer.
So good. All right, guys. I hope you walked away with some nuggets. Go implement it. Go DM the crap out of Steven here and bug him. And I'll hold him accountable to hitting you back or his team. I have my team, my DM, so I get it. Oh, funny thing. If you guys DM me now, my AI will talk with you. Try it. Go DM me right now.
Talk with me today.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, like you were sending me like great stuff. And I'm like, this guy probably thinks I'm a weirdo. My AI's like, are you interested in AI and lead flow?
Luckily, I was watching you doing an interview, so I knew it wasn't you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're about to release that on everybody. Socials. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But hey, guys, I love you. Go share this podcast with someone and go make it a great day.